It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weird?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts, Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first edition of 2023's Turn the Light On.
Hello, Happy New Year. Prophetically, we're going to call this 2020-free.
2020-free, I like
2020-free.
It's about time, man. Freedom.
It's about time, I think,
in Jesus.
We hope everybody had a great holiday and hopefully a break and got to eat a lot of cake.
I ate everything in sight.
Yeah. I have to make a correction about something that we talked about that I just thought about.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Did you know that, remember when I mentioned that my grandmother used to write Happy Birthday Jesus on the cake and we used to celebrate? My mom was like, have you not been paying attention? I've been doing that every year since. I was like, oh, I mean, I knew that you had cake. She was like, carrot cake. So,
yeah, right,
sorry,
right.
Mom.
Hey.
I mean,
so it wasn't
funny.
Just grandma. Mom
no,
took over the tradition.
No, my mom's been doing it the whole time. She's like, how have you not noticed that?
Oh, I see. So grandma got credit for what mom was doing.
Well, my grandmother did it too. And then my mom's
right,
been doing
right.
it since my grandmother doesn't. And
I
totally
that,
just like,
yeah.
It was probably a nostalgic
you had that
moment
first
I was
memory
having.
Of your grandma doing it.
Yeah.
And that just
grandmas
locked
are,
in
you know.
And it happened.
Grandmas are pretty special.
Yeah,
so.
Traditions are cool.
Not that you're not amazing, Mom, but I just I was like, oh. And so, we got together and it was just like we sang and I was like, oh, there's the cake that's always been here. So
that's
it was
awesome,
kind of funny.
Man.
Anyways, I got that squared away. We have been doing that. And I'm going to do
the
that
air
for my
is clear now,
my,
okay? You're free.
Yeah,
you're
I'm going to do that for my grandkids too. We're going to do that.
But, we do. That brings up kind of a good point, though, that we could talk about just for a minute on the air. You know, we really do try our best to be as biblically correct in everything that we're teaching, everything
right.
that we're sharing on the program. And you know what? We don't always get it right. Sometimes we got to come back and go,
yeah.
hey, you know what? We studied
right.
that out a little more, and
yeah.
it didn't quite come out the way we
thought it would. Well, I hope
we
could do that.
Or whatever.
Know.
So,
but hopefully
you know.
We have followers that listen more
exactly.
than once.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hear the time that you
Let's
like.
Hope, right? But we just want you guys to know that we're not sitting here from a perspective on the radio of thinking we're perfect
we have everything.
And we have everything
we
figured
no.
out.
We're doing
just
life.
Two people that love Jesus, getting
right.
in the Word and
yeah.
Coming out and just trying to share with you guys the love of Jesus, trying to help you
That's
become
right.
who God's called you to be in your life and how to understand right now the miracles of Jesus and how they apply and how...
It's been so good.
You know, it has been a great series, Cher.
I heard something disappointing. Now, I haven't seen this, but I'm just the person that's very credible that told me this, but have you watched The New Chosen?
I haven't yet.
One of the series is a little disappointing. One of the shows that I and hey, if you guys know something that I'm unaware of, please write us. What is our email address?
It is testimony@ourlighthouse.net.
Okay. So one of the episodes, Jesus turns down healing someone and decides that they shouldn't be healed.
Oh wow! Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the show. We loved everything about the show, but that is definitely one of those areas where I and us doing all these miracles of Jesus kind of shook me a little bit because it's like I don't know anywhere in the Bible where Jesus didn't heal them all.
Well, I mean, there was the woman that came to him and he said, "I can't give the bread to the dogs."
Well,
you
that's
know?
The Canaanite
then, but
woman, but he still healed
right,
her.
He
so
still
that's
did,
not
right because of her faith.
That's actually not this miracle,
so, yeah.
but the next miracle
right,
that we're going
right.
to talk about. That's the miracle, but. No, you know.
That's the only time I can think where Jesus was,
even remotely,
was technically going to maybe deny somebody.
He walked
you know?
Away and didn't heal this person
oh, wow.
and pretty much left them.
Wow. Did it so, say why in the
episode? I didn't get or? The detail. So like I said,
okay.
I haven't seen it. But
okay.
I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Interesting.
You know, just how much compassion and understanding that we've had of Jesus that feels out of sync with who he
sure,
is
yeah.
and what we've been on this journey.
It's interesting.
We're on Miracle
I'm
23.
I'm going to go watch it now.
Right? We need to, and then maybe we have a little talk about
yeah,
it.
Right.
It's okay.
That'd be cool.
You know, I think one of the things that people need to understand is like there are non-negotiables in our walk with the Lord. And then everything else we can say that we agree to disagree. And so, you know, people, like we talked about people that have conversations and you walk away and then you put them in two rooms and you're like, well, what did they say? And what one person says and the other person, they were in the same room at the same time listening to the same thing. They interpret it very different, you know. So I'm not saying I in any way agree with that decision to do it that way. But, you know, there's some things that you have to agree to disagree. You don't compromise your beliefs on, but you don't have to hate
the person.
There's
absolutes and then there's preferences.
Yeah, and then you don't have to hate people, like, just because they have a different opinion. But that's the society that, well, the enemy has tried to build is such a divide. Like,
keep unity out of the church.
Yeah, not even just well, we are the church, if you put it in that perspective. But in general, in our country, it's like we've had this thing going on that is like, well, if you don't agree with what I say and don't do it my way, then I hate you. You're disgusting. Blah blah blah. And their eyes are popping out of their head.
You're hate.
Their
head's
spinning around. You're racist or whatever. Yeah. You know, all the labels and names of whatever they want.
Who decides who gets to be the one on the top that their opinion matters? You know, that's the whole thing. And then everybody. That's how division works.
It is, and I think the perspective should be: are your heart motives to love Jesus
and people.
And other than that, you know, those other things, we have to take it to the Lord and let him navigate it. But we shouldn't be coming against another person that, you know, loves the Lord and they've just interpreted some things.
Right.
Listen, I don't see it in the Bible, and we do need to take a stand in some areas. I'm not saying but I'm saying I agree to disagree with them and I don't hate the show, you know. Don't anybody be like,
they hate that show.
Chosen has done such a good job.
They really
of
have.
Like helping the Bible come to life in real,
it's been
real time
we talk
now.
About
so
it a lot, too.
It's just disappointing if you hear that. Yeah. You're like, oh man, where did
but
that?
But technically, we haven't seen
come
it yet,
from.
Though either.
So. We haven't, but my source is very credible.
Yeah,
I'll
right,
tell you
right.
That.
They weren't
somebody
they weren't
that's very
about
grounded
it.
And founded
yeah,
in the Word.
For sure.
So. But anyway, so we're on Miracle 23.
Ooh, you ready?
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Do I sound tired today?
No, you don't.
I don't know. You guys are going to... I don't.
No,
do I or
all.
Not? Are you making
no,
fun
you
of me?
No, you really don't.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Because, man, I'm dragging right now.
That's all right.
I got over a cold. My grandkids have been, you know, they're like just little snotty.
Grandkids and little
all
kids,
snotty.
Man, running around you. Yeah, it's inevitable.
Oh, yeah. They just wipe it right on you. And,
sure.
But you can't help but kiss them. And then you're like, I just kissed them on the face.
Right.
And, we had a cold that went around, and I think I'm knocking the rest of that out. So sorry, guys, if I – Kevin's carrying out of one of us.
Hey!
He's carrying plenty of energy for both
like,
of us.
Back off.
But if I sound like I'm not excited about this miracle, that's not true.
It's not true because this is incredible.
I'm a little bit tired. So tell everybody, what's
our
miracle?
We're going to talk today about Jesus walking on water.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I'm a surfer, so I'm all about it. You know, my dream is that I never have to paddle out again, that I can just hurdle the white water and just run right out into the biggest break and walk on the water like Jesus.
But then wouldn't
does,
that affect you,
know? You
being able to ride the wave? Because, I mean...
Well, no, because, you know, I'd be able to turn it on and off whenever
okay,
Jesus
gotcha.
Could have went swimming, too. If he wanted
so
to.
He chose to walk able on to, the water. It can't be like full blast all the time.
You know, I always tell people that, you know, the Bible says the things that Jesus did, I can do and even greater things, right?
Right.
So I believe that, you know, if need be, I can walk on water, right?
Yes.
So I go to my pool, you know, and I take my cell phone out of my pocket and, you know, pull all my keys and everything out. And then I step out onto the water and I fall in the water, you know. And I always tell everybody, day I'm going to leave my cell phone in my pocket and I'm going to just strut right across that thing, you know.
That's a really good point,
you know?
How our heart could be. Like, to do the works of the Lord.
Why
but then
am I preparing
not,
to sink before I try to walk on the water, right?
So. Well, see, this is a perfect segue. So we're looking at Matthew 14:22-33, and this is Jesus walks on the water, and I'm totally letting you read this today.
For sure, let's do it.
I am just like, ugh.
Yeah. So Matthew 14:22-33 says this, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And then after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said, and then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Wow. You did a good job on that.
Thanks.
It's very animated today. You know what I was thinking? This is totally sidetracking, but one of the things that I noticed on here, you know, it says that it's a ghost, and
right.
I always wonder, like, are ghosts real or not, and what is the difference between that,
you know?
And
yeah.
I don't think we know the details of it, but we know that the disciples said, "What is
so
a ghost?"
So they obviously believed in ghosts at some point,
yeah.
You know, or had seen some crazy things something.
I've heard.
I mean, there's been tales of ghosts for centuries.
We don't need to spend too much time on that.
But here's an example
that ghost was in the Bible. It does mention a ghost,
you know,
so it was something that literally scared them, you know, so anyways.
Well, you know, look at the scripture, you know, it says that Jesus was alone and he's out on the water, right? And he's intending to pass them by, you know what I mean? I think Jesus was going to just meet them on the other side. He was just trucking. He wasn't looking to ever really get in the boat.
Right.
And, you know, just picture that for a minute, because the disciples are exhausted. I mean, they've been rowing this boat. And if you've ever been in a boat like that, you know, they're rowing. It's a heavy boat.
Right.
And they're rowing against the wind, and they're probably going nowhere. You know, if you ever, like, swam in a current or something, and you're like, you just paddle and paddle and swim and swim and swim.
I haven't.
You never even move.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have pools, don't they, where people get in pools, and the current's so strong in the pool that you can swim.
Well, they have, like,
it.
A small one. And so, they have that current so that they're actually doing laps without
without ever going anywhere. Yeah. So I imagine it was something like that. You know, they were just rowing for hours against the wind and probably going nowhere. And here comes Jesus, and he's making good time. That's why Peter's like, "Hey, man, I need to get out of this rowing job. Man, hey, can I come out on the water?" But, you know, they think he's a ghost. And that's what you were saying, you know. And, you know, we laugh and we ridicule them, but, you know, in blunders like that, we can learn something, you know. And, it's an example of a lack of faith in their life many times.
Well, and a lack of fear a lot of times is attached to fear. And so the disciples are in this boat, and, you know, let's look at, like, the response of Jesus. He's like, "Don't be afraid. It is I." And the phrase "it is I" means, like, I am.
God.
You are with the Messiah. It says it was the normal response of a person identifying themselves. But with Jesus, it takes, you know, this special significance, because here he is identifying himself again to them. They've been with him and doing all these things, but it's like, you know, "I'm the one who can walk on water. Like, I am God," he's trying to show them. And he later puts it in a phrase of, you know, in the garden and knocked the soldiers back with the power of that statement.
Right, that same
things
one,
that he
like,
did.
"It is I."
"It is I." Yeah.
They all got knocked over.
You know, God, Jesus is, again, every single miracle is always doing something interesting. So in this perspective, he's trying to see, like, there are no boundaries. You can do all things. There isn't any element or natural thing on this planet that I am not over, and that I have to, he can bend everything, if that makes sense. Like, he can do, and he's trying to get them to understand that that's it. He's their Messiah.
Right.
Like,
he's,
I am here for you.
Again.
And a whole, he's just going deeper and deeper and deeper and trying to get them to understand that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Peter. You know, I love this statement. You know, he says, "It's the Lord." Okay. You know, and Peter was always that zealous guy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Lord, if it's you, you know, let me come out on the water." And I love that, because what does Jesus what response does he actually have? If it's you, let me come out on the water. What can Jesus do? It's him.
Right.
So he obviously has to say, okay, come on out. You know, it's like, I just love that Peter really didn't give him any option to say, no, it's not me. Don't come out on the water.
A lot of people judge Peter, but, you know, we have to remember, like, he's the only one that was like, oh, I want to come out there and walk on the water with you. You know, none of the other disciples did that. It kind of reminds me, and this is maybe, I don't know, let's see how good this parallel is, but I kind of think about people who judge. Let's say someone knows another language, but they're not really that great at it, right? So they come and English is their second language, and they start to talk, and it's a little choppy, or they say one word, and, you know, they mix up another word with another word. And I've seen people make fun of people, and I think to myself, that is the second language. How many languages do you know? You know, like Peter, you're getting onto Peter because of him falling in the water, but Peter was the only one willing
to get out of the boat. Actually, he did walk on the water.
And he had more of an advantage than the others, you know, even though it may be clumsy and not always go well, he was willing and he took that, you know. But
sure, the other disciples are probably like, I ain't getting out of the boat, man. Look at the waves out there. This is crazy.
Right, it was either,
you got to remember, it was storming.
It was either fear. Right. Peter had this response to be with the Lord and didn't have the fear that the others did, you know.
Right, but, and Jesus didn't rebuke him either.
That's right.
You know, I mean.
You know, it was not, you know, impulsive or rash. Jesus just, you know, he is successful and soon forgets where his success comes from. We're talking about Peter because verse 30 says that seeing the wind, so all of a sudden he looks up and looks around. He begins to look at the circumstances and he gets his eyes off of God.
Oh, where am I again? I'm in the middle of the storm.
What a perfect example for us, though. You know, when we're leading with our spirit, which is God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit's guiding you, direct you, all as well. As soon as we let, like, I picture that being a shield, and as soon as we let, like, our emotions step in front of that, or it's our flesh, but our mind, our own will steps in front of the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden everything goes away. And that's perfect example.
We take our eyes off God sometimes.
Yeah. You know,
even in life, I've done it.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, you've got to stay where everything you do is led by the Spirit of God and not your emotions, your will, your mind, what you want, your flesh. And that's what he did. He looked at the circumstances and they looked pretty bad, and they, in the natural, it could be very fearful. And when he did that, everything fell apart. So that's what we have to remember to do, not be fearful in a circumstance that looks like it has nothing else but fear in it. We have to say, if we can keep our eyes on God, you know, I'm not saying you don't have emotions, but they need to be in the back seat. They don't get to drive.
Absolutely. You know, I think sometimes we got to be really careful about, you know, thinking about how we're doing things, you know, and sometimes I think we bring God into our situation after we're sinking.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And and that can be the way we go through life. It's like, oh no, I'm sinking. Now I need to call out to Jesus. But technically, Peter cried out to Jesus before, and he actually walked on water.
Okay? That's right.
How many people on the planet, you know, can say they walked on water? I've heard there's a few.
Right. Well,
but, you know, who can say that?
Yeah. And then he got to encounter an experience in a very stormy circumstance, but he also lost it. And so that tells me that, you know, we can experience even a miracle in our lives, but if we're not willing to keep our eyes on the Lord, you can lose that. And I think sometimes that's what happens with healings, even unintentionally. You know, people see the miraculous way of the Lord and they get healed, and then you wonder, you know, what happened. Like a year later you see them and they're not healed anymore, and you're like, well, did Jesus really heal them? Yes, Peter really did walk on the water.
Yeah.
But the circumstances and things that you say, and there's other things that happen in the midst of that turn things in another direction, and it's the worldly direction. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Peter's story is a story of, you know, all of us in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we usually begin good, but then we get in the middle of the situation, it gets tough, things start happening, and then our eyes slip away off Jesus, and we begin to look at our situation, and then our faith begins to waver.
Yeah, so, you know, his cry, that the only thing, you know, that that he did was he said, Lord, save me, you know, and that we do have that. And that's, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, me too.
And he does. And he does save him. You know, he doesn't say, oh, Peter, you know what? You had it together and then you lost it. I'm sorry. I can't help you now. You know, he's like,
you know, he did say to him, though, that, you know, your problem is your lack of faith.
Well, he's trying to teach him, but he's still
your doubt.
This is an example, like Jesus will always, God wants us to get better and stronger. He's always going to be teaching us, but he can teach you in a way that still loves you and rescues you. He doesn't teach you and harm you and keep you beat up and broken.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we're always brought back to trusting in the Lord. You
it
know,
is about
trusting
trust.
God, then nothing will seem overwhelming in our lives.
That's right.
You know, because I've been teaching at the church here on the difference between happiness and joy.
Right.
You know, happiness is based on what happens in your life.
That's right.
But joy comes from knowing Jesus.
That's
and
right.
joy is the Lord's. And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
That's right.
So you can have joy in the midst of situations and circumstances that aren't, you know,
well, in the natural
good.
Don't look right.
Right.
But joy is a supernatural.
Exactly.
It's
but,
a supernatural
you know,
thing.
You can be unhappy and still have joy.
That's
so, you know, and I see that. You know, Peter's struggling in this situation,
and his
faith is wavering in this situation, and,
right.
and Jesus, he kind of does rebuke him a little bit, but he also is trying to teach him.
Right.
He's trying to show him that, man, if you just got to trust me, you got to stay with me, and then he lifts him up out of the water,
right,
and you know, he brings him back in the boat.
Right.
With, you know,
right.
And he gets back in the boat with Jesus, and then everybody's like, all right, they're all in the boat, but
right.
the storm, we're still, this is still a big mess. And then, you know,
well,
boom,
and, you know, he rescues him. The wind dies down.
He's like, poof,
and,
still.
You know, I think John reported that the boat immediately arrived on the other side. And I think that's another miracle inside a miracle that no one really talks about is that. How did the boat immediately arrive on the other side?
Exactly.
It sounds to me like once he got back in the boat, that the boat like transported. It didn't even stay going through. It didn't keep trudging through that storm. He just popped out on the other side of it. You know, like, we're just going to. I mean, that like it's overlooked a lot, but it just, John says that the boat immediately arrived on the other side. I mean, how does that happen other than it getting translated?
Right,
is
right.
the term, the Christianese
Another
term.
Miracle in the miracles.
A miracle.
So is this actually
miracle?
Another miracle other than Jesus walking on the water that we're going to have to?
It is.
Is this miracle 23 and a half?
Oh, gosh, I don't know if we could pull it out and do a whole show on it, but it definitely is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's pretty cool.
And
I love
then
it.
There's this reverence that, and you know, even in Matthew 14:33, that the disciples say, "You are certainly God's son," and
surely
so it's so cool. Yeah,
you're the Messiah.
He says, "How
I
do you
that.
Reconcile their confessions in Matt with the hardness of a heart statement in Mark?" You know, the Mark's passage points out that they did not understand who he was until now, which
right.
is so. Crazy
to
me.
They're just starting to get it. They've seen all
I
these
know,
miracles.
But this is 23 miracles. I guess it's not that they didn't know that he was some incredible, incredible person sent by God. But now there's this shift. You can see now there's this shift of like, he is the Messiah. He is actually the Son of God. I think that it wasn't that they didn't believe what they were seeing was awesome.
So let's take a quick break and come back and talk some more about it.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God. Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's good to be here. It's Kevin
We're
and
back.
Cher.
It went fast.
It did, didn't
it? We were chatty today.
Yeah, we were a little bit, but that's all right. This has been an incredible miracle to talk about. You know,
it's different. I mean, it's like going against the elements.
Sure.
Know, wind, fire. It's just going against this.
Yeah,
storm
walking on water.
Way.
You know, how many areas of our lives do we need to walk on water? You know, do we need to see the miracle of Jesus pulling us up out of that situation?
Right.
You know, I think we can always have a little more understanding. You know, through this miracle.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, sorry, I thought you were going to do a different direction with that. But yeah, you know, I think that we've learned through this that, you know, your absence of faith, you not having faith and taking your eyes off of God and putting them on the circumstances brings the failure. That's where the failure is. The failure is not that
it's
God.
In the faith.
It's not that God failed you. It's not that Jesus wasn't there. It's not, that is not the why. The why is in this example is why did I lose, you know, faith, or what happened where you lost faith and trust in the Lord, you know, and that's what we have to do and you know, figuring that out. So sorry, I took my hand.
No worries, man. I think it brings me back to that scripture where, you know, it said, say unto this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea. If you do not doubt in your heart, you'll have what you ask. I think that, you know, we have to understand that Jesus does have the power over these natural elements, but there's a danger, you know, in us having self-confidence. I think that's something that we have to be really obvious and aware of in our lives, that if we're looking to ourselves to be the answer, I think that we're setting ourselves up to sink. But if we look to Jesus, who is in front of us, and he's saying, you know, I'm here for you, I'm ready.
And
you
I know, think then, it's always, we're always, we get, we all get a seed, you know, a measure of faith, the Lord says. We all get a measure of faith. We're not saying that it's easy, but everybody's in different levels and different things.
Sure.
So it starts with the smaller things that Jesus has built up their faith in for them to get to a point where, you know, so when we say speak to the mountain, it's the journey of getting there to have the faith that you need to be able to speak to that mountain. At first, it feels hard to have faith in something small, but that's how you exercise your faith. Exercise your faith, and it will begin to grow until you will have the faith to speak to a mountain and tell that mountain to move, and it will, and you will have no doubts of it.
So in closing, I just want to say this. There's safety in the person and the power of Jesus. So if you need him, call on him and he'll be there for you. Thanks again for tuning in today. This is Kevin and Cher.
Bye, guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.